going to Nashville to be involved in the Lads to Leaders Convention, as they have each year for the last several years. Many of them will be participating in different things, involved in different ways. Alex Bean is going to speak in that convention. A few weeks ago, he gave his speech to the Teachers Appreciation Banquet. And we've asked him tonight to share it with the entire congregation. I think you will be impressed with the fine work that he has done in putting this together. And I think he has something to say. And after he has finished, I will pick up with what he presents and continue the lesson of the evening. And now, Alex.
When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought as a child, and I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away these childish things. This is the definition of responsibility to God. As we get older and are baptized, we are suddenly made more responsible for our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. When I was ready to be baptized, I suddenly realized that I would have to put away these childish things. And as Corinthians 13, verse 11 teaches, become a man of God. One of the things we are responsible for is our thoughts. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says that God knows all of our thoughts. We are not to think too highly of ourselves. God wants us to think equally of others. He wants us to have good thoughts of not only us, but also others. It's usually said that if we think something, we are this way. A great example of this is Solomon. He said back in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. People who think bad thoughts are more likely to have bad personalities and bad lives. If we stay away from these bad thoughts, we will think positive. We will have better lives and live under the Word of God. We are also responsible for our speech. We should not use foul language at any time, whether it be at school or at home. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says that to keep the mouth and tongue will keep the soul from trouble. We should be careful about what we say. Colossians 4, verse 6 says that we should always speak with grace, seasoned with salt, and know how we ought to answer every man. Remember that God always wants us to do the right thing, whether it be with our speech or another responsibility. If we speak right, like we should, we will be one step closer to fulfilling our responsibilities to God. Finally, we are responsible for our actions. God judges us strongly by our actions. The God is the Lord of all knowledge, and by Him our actions are weighed. Proverbs 20, verse 11 says that even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. This means that we are judged by our actions always, from the time we are children to the day that we die. We should always do the right thing. Actions that are against his commandments will not be tolerated. And if you look at most of the commandments, most of them have to do with action. This is why actions are such a big responsibility to our everyday life. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Jesus is our perfect example, though. He always watched his thoughts, guarded his tongue, and even at the age of 12 was doing good deeds for God. We should walk in his footsteps. Why does the child of God attend worship, read the Bible, and serve others? You might say, this is what a Christian does, and you're right, but why does a person do all these things? Because we have a responsibility to serve God. If we honor these responsibilities like we should, we will not be perfect, but we'll be able to live a wonderful life guided by the Word of God. As someone once observed a long time ago, watch your thoughts because they become your speech. Watch your speech because it becomes your actions. Watch your actions because it becomes your character. And watch your character because it becomes your eternal destiny.
I predict that that will not be the last lesson that Alex will deliver. I wasn't concerned about how he would do. I was a bit concerned about his mother. And I sort of looked around to see that we had a nurse or a doctor in the audience in case anything happened. She was more nervous than he. But Anthony and Deidre have done an excellent job in rearing Alex. His grandparents are with us most of the time, the Hilliards, the Jack Hilliards, Jack and Lola, and also Miss Sue Bean, his other grandmother, is in our midst tonight and is at many of our services, and we really appreciate what all of them have done in helping to bring a young man like this to the point that he is. Alex will be 13 in July. I was just thinking a few minutes ago, I was just a few months older than he when I preached my first sermon. And within 2 years, I was preaching every Sunday at smaller congregations in the area and have been preaching ever since. And I hope we can encourage Alex and many of our other young men to preach God's word. If not full time, we need young men who will grow up and maybe be a tent maker like Paul and still preach the word of God. We need so many preachers and teachers and elders and deacons and wives of elders and deacons. All of these are so important in the work of the church. And I think a program like the Lads to Leaders and the work that's being done by so many to work with our young men and young women will just help us to produce young men and women like we've seen an example tonight in the future of the church. I not only appreciated the lesson that Alex delivered from the standpoint of how he delivered it when I heard it the other night and again tonight, but I appreciated the content of it. I think you noticed that there was one word particularly emphasized in his lesson, the word responsibility. That is not the R word that you and I hear most today in the news. We tend to hear the word rights. It's almost impossible to listen to the different newscasts during the day on television or listen to the radio program without hearing somebody say something about somebody's rights. Many of the discussions that are taking place are centered around that subject. And yet I believe that it is the R word that he used tonight that we need to emphasize the most, and that's responsibility. There is a tendency for us to pass the buck. So many times, even as our younger children are playing with each other and something happens, one of them will say, and usually it's not correct English-wise, he done it, and blame someone else. I wonder where they learned that. You think it could go back as far as to the Garden of Eden, where Adam said, she gave to me, and Eve said, the serpent is really the problem and the cause. From the very first family, there has been a tendency to place the blame for something on someone else. And many times on the other side of the coin, if there is something that needs to be done, it is easy for us to say, let someone else do it. Usually we pick up the name George and say, let George do it. And many times in the work of the church, we're heard to say, I just can't do this as well as someone else. Someone else can do better than I can. And many times things do not get done because we are passing the buck and not accepting responsibility. I want to think with you for just a few minutes tonight from the first few verses of Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. I want you to notice three things particularly in this passage that we've just read. Verse 1 says, considering thyself. That's personal responsibility. Verse 4 says, prove his own work. That's accepting personal responsibility. Verse 5 says, bear his own burden. That's accepting personal responsibility. Alex did a good job in mentioning three areas where this responsibility needs to be seated. He mentioned we have a responsibility for our thoughts, a responsibility for our words, and a responsibility for our actions. And how true that is. In the last several years, there have been many books written about getting along with oneself. And in those books, a general idea has been presented over the years that there are two basic concepts that need to be involved, and that's self-respect and self-esteem. And I think all of us would agree that those are extremely important. If one does not have respect for himself, he usually will not have much respect from anyone else, and he usually will not have much respect for anyone else. And many times, talents go unused because of a lack of self-esteem. Maybe we as parents sometimes do not instill in our children as much as we should how much they can do, how important they are, and how much self-esteem they ought to have, how they ought to believe in themselves. But in the last 5 years or so, it seems to me that in many of the writings that I am considering and reading, that I'm hearing a third concept tied with these first two. Self-respect, self-esteem, and self-control. And I hope that this is a trend that will help to turn us in the right direction. When you emphasize self-control, you're talking about accepting personal responsibility. That does not, by any stretch of the imagination, do away with the need for self-respect and self-esteem. But it places responsibility where God placed it, back with the first people that were on this earth. You don't find Adam and Eve getting the idea that God's going to take care of the garden and we won't have to do anything. Although it seems some people have that idea today. God said, I want you to dress it and keep it. And when they sinned, God didn't just overlook it and say, this is okay, you don't have any personal responsibility. I guess one of the reasons Adam and Eve were a little different, they didn't have any ancestors they could blame. And at least that's one case where you don't find anybody saying that Adam and Eve sinned because they'd been mistreated in childhood. But God started giving them some responsibility. He said, this is what you will do now. He told Eve what her responsibilities would be, and he gave Adam his responsibilities, and he even told the serpent where he would get on and get off. Responsibility was emphasized. And he said to Adam and Eve, even before the sin, in a sense, you have a responsibility to control yourself. Do this and don't do this. Had a positive commandment and a negative commandment in the Garden of Eden. God expected even Adam and Eve to accept some responsibility. And folks, I don't believe he's changed his mind since that time. There have been a few times that I've had someone who claimed to be a Christian say to me, I don't have to make any decisions. I just get up and I turn it all over to God and he makes all the decisions for me. Now, a lot of times when we're asking for forgiveness, we'll say something like, I've been trying to work this out by myself and now I'm going to turn it over to God. I think I know what we mean by that, and I think there's some positive principles involved in that. If we're trying to work it out by ourselves, we've got a problem. And if we're going to take God's word into consideration and to start trying to do things his way, that's the way it should be. But if we have the idea that I'm just going to throw my life to God here on the front seat or somewhere else, and I don't have to make any decisions, he's going to do all these things for me, we have missed the point. God gave us some responsibility. Yes, with our thoughts, with our words, and with our actions. In this passage here in Galatians 5, verse 1 indicates in the first place that God has given us some responsibility to be concerned about the lost. Man's overtaken in a fault, he says, you need to do something about it. We will never carry the Great Commission out and carry the gospel to the whole world until we are ready to accept personal responsibility. Oh, I don't owe those folks over there anything. I don't even owe the people that live down the street from me anything, seems to be the attitude that is so easily developed. He says, brethren, if a man's overtaken in a fault, ye. He's saying you've got a responsibility to him. You've got a responsibility to the lost. And there is an indication in this word restored in this verse that the lost has some responsibility. He says you restore such a one, but you tie that to other teachings and you see that really what he's saying is you lead that other person to be restored. You can't do it all for him. He's going to have to accept some responsibility. And anybody who has gone astray from the right relationship to God cannot be restored separate and apart from accepting his own responsibility. Because there is a responsibility to repent. I cannot find anywhere in God's word that he promises forgiveness separate and apart from repentance, or separate and apart from obedience to his word. Whether it be in the case where someone has never submitted himself to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins as a penitent believer, or to be restored as a wayward child of his. There is no indication anywhere in the Bible that we can become Christians, live as Christians, be restored to our first love without accepting some responsibility ourselves. We need to accept some responsibility concerning sin. Oh, we find a way to blame. I have been intrigued with all of the things that are happening with Glen Allen Coal. And especially the other day when they came up with this idea that really his problem is because he was mistreated as a child. Now, I am sure that I do not have the ability and the background and the education to understand all that is involved, and I'm sure that the things that happen to us as children do have an impact on our lives. I'm sure that is true. But folks, when are we going to get to the point that we quit blaming our actions on something that happened to us when we were children? When Eve said the serpent gave to me, she was telling the truth. He did. And when Adam said, Eve gave to me, he was telling the truth. She did. But you don't see any evidence there that God overlooked the problem with each of these because somebody else had contributed. And I would guess that most of the time when you and I make mistakes, that somebody in some way, somewhere, somehow contributed to that mistake. But when I sin, I sin. And it's time for me to accept the responsibility for my sins and you to accept the responsibility for your sins. Yes, accept the responsibility to help and encourage each other. That's saving the lost. But quit trying to put the blame on somebody else for our sins. Flip Wilson had the classic one, the devil made me do it. And I'm pretty sure he did. Pretty sure the devil's involved in helping all of us to make all the mistakes that we make, but that won't cut it, folks. We've got to get to the point of accepting our own responsibilities toward saving the lost and toward dealing with our own problems when we are not in the right relationship with God. I think verse 2 indicates that we need to learn to accept our responsibilities to one another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're even told by Paul in the Ephesian letter, just 4 chapters later than where we're reading, that we are to work and labor with our hands to be able to give to somebody that has need. We need to accept a responsibility. If people who are lazy would accept the responsibility to work, and then those who are capable of working would accept the responsibility to help take care of those who are not capable of working, we'd solve a lot of problems in our nation and throughout the world. And it's interesting that in my Bible here, just across in the next column is verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith. Folks, we have a responsibility. Oh, it doesn't make any difference what my neighbor's doing. Yes, it does. Not in the sense that we want to pry into his business and get into his personal life, but in the sense that we're concerned, as we said a moment ago, about his soul, and now concerned about his body. Bear ye one another's burdens. And I'll guarantee you that if you knew the truth tonight and were able to look down the seat to the right and the left of you, you'd be looking at people who have some burdens. And I would guess if they look back at you, they would be looking at a person who has some burdens. Some of them we can take care of ourselves. Some of them maybe we need to turn over to God when it's beyond our control. And some of them we can help each other. And we need to help each other, accepting responsibility. Then in verse 4, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. It is time for us to get back in our country to placing a premium on work. Labor. Let a man prove his own work. If he won't work, don't let him eat, he said to the Thessalonians. He said that I have a responsibility to provide for myself to the extent that I can provide for myself. And if I'm not willing to work, I ought not even eat. And then he taught the principle in 1 Timothy 5:8 that one's to provide for his own. And he's talking there about widows particularly, but the same principle is involved in 2 Corinthians 12:14 that the parents are to lay up for the children. We have a responsibility to provide for our families. One of our big problems today is what we call deadbeat dads. Dads who won't carry out their responsibilities. There's our word again, responsibilities. Let a man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The greatest need that we have today relative to the younger generation lies at the feet of parents. I am so thankful for all the good things that are done by our young people. And when they have problems, we're concerned. The church is involved. The school may be involved. Even a program like Lads to Leaders involved. But dads and mothers, none of these will take the place of your responsibility. It is your responsibility. Particularly pointed to the fathers. Ephesians 6:4. To bring up your son and daughter in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The church can help, the school can help, others can help, but nobody can accept your responsibility. We've got to get back to this responsibility. Oh, I have rights as a child, yes. I have rights as a parent, yes. I have rights as a husband. I have rights as a wife, yes. And you'll have those rights if you'll take care of your responsibilities. Rights sort of come in there some way and fit in when we take care of our responsibilities. And let me just throw this in case I forget it, if it needs to fit into another place. We do a better job of taking care of our responsibilities if we keep our noses out of other people's responsibilities. And I'm not conflicting with what I mentioned a moment ago of having interest in the need of others. But many times we're too busy trying to take care of other people's responsibilities that we don't see our own. I'm often reminded, and I think all preachers particularly ought to be reminded of this, that Noah, with over 100 years of preaching, saved 8, his own family. Nobody else but his family. But if every man did that, what would we have? If every dad and mother saved themselves and their family, what would we have?
It gets back to this acceptance of responsibility. And then he emphasizes it probably after all these other things more than any way in verse 5, and he says, every man shall bear his own burden. Not the same word used in verse 2, bear you one another's burdens. It's not the same idea used over in Psalms that we're to cast our burdens on the Lord. There are some burdens that we can't handle without the Lord. In fact, some that we just have to leave to him that we maybe don't understand at all. And there are some things that we can't do, at least we can't do as easily as we can when others are helping us. But there are some responsibilities that are mine and nobody else's. And yours and nobody else's. Every man shall bear his own burden. And there is nowhere that this is truer than relative to the subject of salvation. After Peter had preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost and had encouraged them in many ways and told them what to do,